Can you hear me now? Glad you folks are here tonight. We did have a deacons meeting tonight, and we brought up and talked about a few things, prayed about a few things. One of the things that was brought up, Pastor Don has sort of an outline map of the church, of all the different rooms, and we have 12 storage rooms, 12 different rooms that are being used for storage. And, you know, in the midst of using 12 rooms for storage, that may mean we have too much junk. It may mean that you left something here and forgot to take it home. It may mean that we can sell something and get something nicer to replace something older. And I know the last 2 years we've had basically church garage sales, and we've hauled lots of stuff out. And I know the last few years we've had work days, and the dumpsters are full every time. But yet we still have 12 storage rooms. So if there is something that is yours, take it home. If there is something that you see that's broken, if it's too heavy for you to take to the trash, tell Dale, and he'll carry it out to the trash for you. But we just need to do a little bit of house cleaning around here, housekeeping. Pastor Don, when he's been sort of down and out with his issues, he's had time to think about other things that he normally maybe wouldn't think about. And he's a pretty, he likes to organize and stack things up, and he's that mentality anyway. So this is something that is a project that's going to be ongoing. And we need to free up some rooms to do other things, ministry, instead of just storage. And I think that would be a good thing. So that's one of the things that we talked about tonight. And so keep that in mind. If you get approached and somebody's saying, you know, what should we do with this? We're thinking about throwing away. Don't, like, have an emotional breakdown and start shedding tears. This is my favorite item that I've cherished for decades. You know, be willing to let go. Maybe you want to pray about it, and that'd be fine. But we need to do a little bit of house cleaning, so keep those things in mind. And we do want to... There's an estimate that the church owns 20,000 Easter eggs. That's... So if you see Easter eggs for half price, we don't need any more. Don't buy us anymore. Do not bring them. We were figuring if there was some way we could, like, launch them from a clay pigeon shooter and we could shoot them. We don't know if that's feasible or not, but anyway, that's one of the things we talked about. And also, I don't know if we talked about it in the deacons meeting, but in the bulletin, last Sunday was, I guess, our first official Sunday to collect offerings for the roof. And I think it said we took in $1,215 or something like that. So just continue to pray about that, and I think the Lord will bring in the rest of that money needed. It was an issue. The foreman of the roofing contractor, I met with him the other day, and he looked around, where's he going to want to put the dumpster and things, and the problem area, it's sort of an inside wall on brick, and there's a downspout there, and we've had problems there. The brick, we like walked right up to it. There's brick that's totally deteriorated where you can basically see inside the building. So the roofing man said, well, you guys need to get that fixed, because it wouldn't you're still gonna have leaks if you fix the roof and there's destroyed brick. So I have gotten a couple quotes and to fix some other brick around here from some masons, and it's not a whole lot of it's not a huge expense. I got one quote for $900 and another quote for $1,500, and fixing the Bible brick there and fixing some other damaged brick places in that one wall area. So we're trying to keep the place up nice, and obviously we're not, you know, I guess I hesitate to like push us too hard on getting everything perfect, because we're not perfect, we're human, but yet again, think about what is it like for a first-time visitor when they pull up in here. Is it visually appealing, or is it run down? And you're going to say, well, you know, Pastor Josh's kids have some toys laying in the yard. I'll clean those up and things like that, and I try to keep that. But, you know, when they walk in the foyer, is it nice and clean? And when they take their child to the nursery or a side room, is it, you know, appealing for them? Or is it, you know, there's a broken pool table with a sign that says, warning, stay away, may fall at any moment. Apparently there was such a sign. So we just need to be aware of things like that, and we need to make sure we're doing our best around here. But there's also out there a Constitution Revision Committee sign-up sheet, and I think I've neglected to have it out there this morning, but we mentioned it, and there's an announcement in the bulletin. Dick Daly's going to be chairing this. There's different issues that have been brought up from the last time we looked at the Constitution, and Dick wants to know if you're interested in coming, put your name on it, and then if you have a preference on meetings, because there's some people that, well, I'd like to be a part of it, but I work during the day. So put on there that you can come in the evening or on the weekends or whatever it is. And that helps you get involved in different aspects of the church as well, something that would affect the church for many years to come. I don't anticipate us having to constantly change the Constitution. So, you know, I think this is an important job that doesn't take a lot of back-breaking work, but it takes some time and some prayer to be able to contribute to constitutional changes. So I think that's all the announcements and sort of my housekeeping that I have to deal with. But I did get a call, had a message from Connie Ignis, and Bill has been having some back pain and neck pain, and he was sort of confused last week. He thought it might have been heart issues, but his heart's been checked out and his heart's healthy. But with his Alzheimer's that he has, she says, you know, where are you hurting? Well, it's my chest. And then an hour later, well, it's another spot, and he's very confused. So pray for Connie and Bill. And if you get a chance, maybe call up Connie on the phone and ask her how she's doing, if she needs anything. And then I got a call from Helen Kidder's daughter a little while ago. Helen rides with Hazel and some of those other ladies. And Helen was in Genesis Hospital, and I went and saw her a couple weeks ago. But her daughter just called, and she's not going to be able to live in Donner House anymore. She's going to be moving to Crestmont. And they're just planning some things with the estate and things like that. And I think when I was at the hospital, she was turning 90. Either 90 or 91. And so you can pray for Helen and the family and Bill and Connie, and I'm sure there's lots of other things. And I guess that transitions right into, did you have something?
Terry
Christensen?
No, Terry
Granger.
Yes.
Terry Granger, his brother had a heart attack a couple weeks ago and died, and then about a week later his mother passed away. And but Terry decided, you know, if his brother died so young at 51, I think, that Terry was going to get checked out. And it must be a genetic thing because his heart had some issues and problems. So he got a heart cath. Actually, I think they cleaned out two different arteries. And we haven't heard back yet about the heart cath. He just called Fred Schultz and said he wouldn't be in the sound booth this Sunday. So pray for Terry Granger and the other Terry Christensen. He had a carpal tunnel operated on. So he's been with his wife Judy down south. And I think he's actually driving back today. So you should be able to see him soon. And I think he's been calling his care list, but obviously we miss him here as well. But all these prayer requests and all this stuff sort of brings me to our point of tonight. All these prayer requests and things and the sicknesses and the deaths and all these things, it's really just the tip of the iceberg. And that's, I guess, just part of life. We all face disappointments. We all face problems. And it just seems like a never-ending stream of issues. And I can look around the room, and I know a lot of your individual issues because I end up hearing them over the years, and I end up finding out about them. But, you know, William may look at somebody else and, oh, they're totally fine. But if you only knew. Each of us is just struggling, and sometimes we get discouraged, and sometimes we just get weary, and we get wondering and discouraged and all these different things. And I ran across a really neat sermon, and it was called The Seven I Wills of a Believer. And I started studying this phrase, I will, and you know what? It's a lot more than seven. And so I decided that I was just going to narrow it down to the I wills for the believer just in the book of Psalms, because we'd have page after page after page. We'd be here all night. And we're just going to look at the I wills of a believer in the book of Psalm. And what I want you to do is as we're going through these things and reading these things, think about the discouragement, think about the distraction, think about the issue, problem in your life, in your heart, work, family, job, relationship, whatever it is, and think, wait a second, I will do this in the face of this problem. And these aren't things that I'm making up. This isn't something that, you know, a pastor's made up. You know, I promise to love, honor, and cherish, you know, our husband and wife. This isn't some, like, formula like that. These are things directly out of the scriptures. And as I was studying these I wills, these were things that we will do, I will. It's an entire other study to look at the things that God says, I will. Some of his are scary because it says, like, I will repay you for your sin. And it's like, whoa, that's a scary one. We don't want to read that. We want to hear the, you know, I will bless you ones. And maybe some night we'll do the I wills that God says he will do for us. But tonight, these are just what the believer, what you can say, what you can do in the face of adversity, in the face of stress, in the face of whatever it is, I will do this. So we're going to be flipping around to a lot of different verses, and hopefully I'll be able to go slow enough that we can you can keep up with me. And some of these, like one of them is, I will praise God. There's probably 50 verses. We're not going to read all 50 verses. We're just going to read a couple of each one. So the first one, I will trust God. I will trust God, if you want to write this down. Psalm 44:6 was one of my favorite verses regarding that subject. Psalm 44:6, I will trust God. It says, for I will trust God, for I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. I guess I'm a guy, a man's man, and I like weapons, and I like things like that. And the verse says, these soldiers, I mean, King David is a man's man. He's a warrior. He's got all these mighty men that at the drop of a hat, they'll grab their swords and shields, and go out and fight and chop and do whatever. And David says, listen, we don't trust in our bow. We don't trust in our sword. We don't trust in our weapons. Who do we trust in? We trust in God. I'm going to put my trust in God. I will not trust my bow. But that's difficult to do, isn't it? It's difficult to trust God because what do we know about God from the New Testament? He's invisible. What do I know about my six-shooter revolver if it's laying there on the table, or my sword or my axe? I can pick it up. I can hold it. I can grab it. But David, he says, no, listen, don't trust these things. You got to trust God. But it's so hard. It's so hard to trust somebody we can't touch and who we can't see. But yet, when you go flip on the light switch, do you see all the electricity running through the wires? No. But have you ever turned on a switch and thought, oh, I wonder if this is going to come on? You know? You know it's going to come on. You assume it's going to come on. Mark, you have a story about that? You're laughing. You turned on a switch and it didn't come on. You know? And then somebody might say, well, you know, when I turn on the faucet, I know the water's going to come out. When I sit on the pew, I know it's not going to collapse. When I turn on the light switch, I know it's going to come on because they've proven themselves. The pew, this is my same spot. Tom and Jeannie, they've been sitting in that same spot ever since I've known them. They know when they sit down, it's going to be solid, it's going to be safe. And I can trust my pew because it's proven itself trustworthy over decades. Wait a second, shouldn't we trust God? Hasn't he proven himself over longer than just decades? Centuries. I'm not telling you folks anything you don't already know. I'm just trying to stimulate your mind, stimulate your thinking. I will trust God, not on these items that I can hold, okay? We fear a lot of stuff. We worry. And God says, hey, you need to trust me. So what you say to yourself is, I will trust God. I will trust God. I have another verse, Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalm 18:2. So that's the first one. I will trust God. Here's the second one. I will not be afraid of people or situations. I will not be afraid of people or situations. Psalm chapter 3, verse 6. Psalm 3, 6. Here's a big one that I like too as soon as I saw it. It says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people who have set themselves against me all around. You know, sometimes we get frustrated when there's this person at our work across the cubicle that's trying to steal our job, and there's just one person that's out to get us. There's just one person out to get us. King David says, I'm not going to fear if there's 10,000. I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000 people. Psalm 23. Probably know this as soon as I start to say it, you'll remember it. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 27, 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. I will be confident. There's another one of those I wills. And, you know, I could go on and on. We're still talking about I will not be afraid of people. Psalm 55:23. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. I will trust in you. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Like I say, we could go on and on all night with these. And I told you I was only going to read two or three per one, but that one, they were just so good, I couldn't do it. Here's a third one. I will fear God. I will fear God. Another I will fear God. Psalm 34:11 says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We talked a little bit about that this morning, fearing God. It's something that we don't often think about, but it's important for us to do. It's one of these I wills. I will fear God. Here's, what number are we on? My numbers are off. Four? Number four, I will love God. Psalm 18:1. Psalm 18:1. I will love God. It says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And then it goes on with some great verses after that. I will love God. To truly love God, what does that entail? How about every effort that we make, there's the love of God behind it? How about every moment of every day, love of God's behind it? And then somebody even wrote down in one of these things that I read, every dream is motivated by loving God. But then how do we do that? We're not going to turn there. 1 John chapter 5, it talks about if you love the Lord, what will you do? There's two things. Obey his commandments and love your brother, right? 1 John 5, you can look that up later. So when we say, I will love God, that would be lived out by obeying him and by loving others. Okay, I will love God. Here's number 5. I will keep God's laws. Psalm 119:145. I will keep God's laws. It says, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. And then Psalm 86:11 says, I will walk in his truth. And then Psalm 119:16 says, I will not forget his word. And then Psalm 119:48 and 78 says, I will meditate on his statutes. So I'm going to keep God's laws. I'm going to be in his word. You know, when we're discouraged, that'd be a great way to be lifted up. I will meditate on his word. Number 6, I will behave myself wisely. Here's a good one. Psalm 101:2. Psalm 101:2. Psalm 101:2 says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. When I was studying these, a whole preacher preached a sermon on what a perfect heart was. And we didn't have time to get into that tonight. Maybe that's something else you want to study. But I will behave myself wisely. How about Psalm 26:11? I will walk in integrity. How about Psalm 39:1 says, I will watch my mouth. I put those under, I will behave myself wisely. Psalm 39:1, I want to read that one because it was so good. It says, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. All kinds of things. How about this one? Is this number 7 or 8? I will pray to you. I will pray to you. Psalm, I have half a dozen written down here, I think. Psalm 5:2, it says, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. Psalm 18:3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved by my enemies. I will pray to you. And there's other ones. Psalm 18:45 says, I will give thanks. The foreigners fade away. And that must be the wrong reference. Well, there's one. There's more than one that says, I will give thanks. I will give thanks. Psalm 55:17. Maybe I got that one right. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray. I will pray. How about this one? I will praise God with my whole heart. I will praise God with my whole heart. Psalm 27:8 It says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek, Lord. Psalm 22:22. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. I will praise you. Psalm 9:11 says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion, declare his deeds among the people. So just one after the other, all these, I will do these things. I will praise you, God, with my whole heart. I will rejoice in his salvation. That's 9 verse 14. It says, that I may tell all of your praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. That's pretty important. Thanking God for our salvation. Well, I've had a terrible day, and you know, I stubbed my toe. But he's in heaven preparing a place for you. Okay? Our little issues and problems down here sort of pale in comparison. I will rejoice in his salvation. Psalm 38:18. I sort of started out with easy ones. Now we're sort of getting into some of the more difficult ones. Okay, I'm not trying to step on any toes. This is just the word of God, and I just decided I was going to look at all these I wills in the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 38:18. I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. That one's a scary one. I will confess my sins and be sorrowful over them. If you're writing things down, I will confess my sins and be sorrowful over them. Number 11 or 12, wherever we're at. I will share my faith. I will share my faith. Psalm 51:13. Psalm 51:13. Says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. I will share my faith and talk about salvation to people. Psalm 145, verse 6 says, I will declare his greatness. And if you read the whole verse, there's the reason you're declaring his greatness is so that people will be saved. I will share my faith. How about I will sing? I will sing Psalm 57:9, since we're close there. Psalm 57:9, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. That's a little bit of evangelism right there, too. Singing to the nations? Maybe one page over, Psalm 59, verse 16 is another I will sing. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. I will sing. Here's a good one. I'm going to stop stepping on toes for a few minutes here. Psalm 71:14. Psalm 71:14. And maybe I've been talking all night and I haven't really hit one that you need yet. This might be it. Psalm 71:14. I will hope continually. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Pastor John wants me to keep reading. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go into the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. I will hope continually. You know, in the deepest part of your mind where you're discouraged about this issue or whatever it is, don't lose hope. Tell yourself that. I will hope continually. That's a biblical prayer. It's a biblical thing. It's right out of the Word of God. Here's number 14 or 15. I will call upon God when I'm in trouble. Psalm 86, verse 7. I will call on God when I'm in trouble. Psalm 86, verse 7 says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. You know, there's been times when my wife has rang my cell phone and I didn't answer. And I don't know where I was. I was gone or the cell phone was broke or something. And she had a bat in the house this one particular time. And the bat was flying around. She called up somebody else from church and they brought over a tennis racket. And they hit the bat and they killed the bat for my wife. But most of the time, the vast majority of the time when she calls, I answer the phone. But sometimes with people, you just can't do it perfectly every time. But God says what? The Bible says what? Call on God. He's always going to answer. He's always going to be there for you. You will answer me. I will call upon God when I'm in trouble. The next one here. I will set nothing wicked before mine eye. That's Psalm 101:3. I think I memorized that verse when I was in 7th or 8th grade. I went to a small Christian school, and they would teach us Bible verses in chapel, and that was one that we learned an entire semester. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's the old King James Version. What's the new word for cleave? Cling? Oh, okay, not that much different. Yeah, I will set nothing wicked before mine eyes. Then the next one, and I think we already sort of mentioned this, I will walk with a perfect heart. And that's Psalm 101:2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And we ended with this perfect heart thing again. David was said to be a man after God's own heart. If you study all the different kings, all the northern kingdom kings were all rotten. They were all bad. But some of the southern kingdom kings, they were good. But then there's one in particular. It says, you know, he did some good things, but he didn't have a perfect heart. There was still some things he was holding back. There were still some things that he didn't do for the Lord. And I don't think it was those kings, some of those kings anyway, I don't think they were like doing it purposefully. Well, you know, we want to just, you know, get God or whatever. There was just some things they refused to let go of. And some of them were like they allowed some altars or different things like that to go on. But, you know, David, he said, was to have a perfect heart, and that's what he wanted. I will walk with a perfect heart. I will not hold anything back. I will give God everything. And I don't know, what is that, 16 or 17 or 18 or 20? I wills, 19. And some of them were sort of piggybacked underneath them. And, you know, sometimes pastors wonder what we're going to talk about. And I ran across the seven I wills. And I started looking. And I'm like, there's a lot more than seven. And then I just had to narrow it down to Psalms, as I said. And I hope it was encouraging to you. You know, I will hope continually. I will call upon the Lord when I'm in trouble. And if my husband doesn't answer, maybe I should call God, okay? Maybe call God first and then dial somebody else on the phone. You know, so many times that seemed like that's happened to me over the years. Even at Bible college, all these Bible college pastor boys were all in there. Oh, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to do that? What's going to happen? Well, did anyone pray? seems like that's the last thing on our minds sometimes. And David's saying, no, I will pray first thing. So these things, these I wills, they were encouraging to me. And I was just thought I'd read them, and hopefully they'd be encouraging to you folks. Is there any questions or comments? We have about 10 minutes or so. Mike. They're personal statements that you're making to God. They are prayers. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Anything else? Questions, comments, even about Ecclesiastes? Go ahead.
How do we hear his voice?
Valerie's question was, when we call on the Lord, how do we hear his voice? I guess I don't have a perfect answer for that. Isn't there a verse, something about when we're walking with the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart? When we're in Psalm 37:4. So I've always thought when we're doing our best, to serve God, to obey God, to fear God, and we're calling out to him for help, a lot of times the thing that we want to do, if we're in tune with the Lord, that's what God wants us to do. Does that make sense? Psalm 37:5. And let me illustrate it. If you're in tune with the Lord, if you're spiritually following God where you should be, I think a lot of times the things you want to do is what God wants you to do. If you're submitted to the Holy Spirit, yeah. It's sort of maybe subconscious. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit tells us special messages. What's Ephesians 5:18? Be not drunk with wine, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's basically what filling is, essentially. We're sort of meshing the lines here a little bit, but... How does Christ communicate with us? Through his word, primarily, through other Christians, and sometimes when we're where we need to be spiritually, our own wants will match up with what God wants. You know, I look back at some of the different things that have gone on here. As you remember how young I was? I'm still young, but you remember how young I was when I first started? I was 26 years old, and we look at some of these things that the decisions that were made or the things that I did, and you look back and you're like, wow, I think I accidentally stumbled upon making the right decision. I didn't know. I was just trying to do the best I could, but the Lord, that's what he wanted to happen all along the way. And you know what? I never fear that people are praying for me, because I never fear that people aren't praying for me, because they must be. They gotta be, otherwise I'd be making a lot more mistakes. Yeah, somebody was gonna, Kelly, I think. For those of you who didn't hear, Kelly was just sharing little bit of personal testimony that the Lord often somehow prompts her to go to a certain passage of Scripture, and she reads it, and that's exactly what she needed at the time. Tina. Yeah, and there's nothing mystical or magical. It's just other godly people that is offering advice. And yeah, you're definitely right. You can abuse that Psalm 37 verse. It can be abused. We don't want to do that either. But it also, you know, is a positive thing. Anything else? Any other questions, comments? Carol. Oh, yeah, whatever. Just messing with you. Anytime somebody moves a hand like that, I always say something. Anything else? Yeah, ask in his name. Yeah, there's other places in Scripture where God's not going to listen to your prayer. If you go to the offering table and try to offer something, you've got a problem with somebody else, he's not going to accept it. I enjoy these times where we can just sit around and chat. It's like an overgrown Sunday school class. And I think it's healthy for us every now and again just to reflect on the Word of God. And I really didn't preach a sermon, and don't fire me for not preaching tonight. We're just looking at some verses, and they were encouraging to me, and I thought they could be encouraging to you. Krista. Yeah, and there's, what, 150 chapters in Psalms? And you only made it through the first 25. Yeah, I went on BibleGateway.com. I put in I will in parentheses, and then you can narrow it down just to the book of Psalms, and it was a few hundred of them. So, you know, if you ever don't know what to pray, open up the book of Psalms and just pray some of that. Dale, let's close in our song. We'll you can move around, stretch out while the piano player is getting ready, and then we'll stand and sing, and then somebody can volunteer to close us in prayer too at the end of the final song.
Open your-